You ever play that, when you were younger, did you ever play that game where you would get a flower and, I know dudes don't do this, the guys didn't do this, excuse me, ladies, did you ever play this game? He loves me not. Yeah, that's not really an effective way to judge love, is it? That's not a very effective, well, today, as we follow up and we, go through John chapter 14, if you want to open your Bibles. Our series is Encountering Jesus. John is trying to show us who Jesus is. And Jesus is trying to show disciples some things in us. Remember, the Bible was written for the people of the day, so it really helps us understand what's going on. And so even though we don't live the same way or think the same way that they lived back in those days, the principles still do apply us. I mean, actually, people don't change. Circumstances and events change, and so the disciples, you got to understand, is really close right now. They're in the upper room. Matt taught the other day, a couple Sundays ago, about how they were there and Jesus washed their feet and he did all these things, and they're in the upper room and they're getting closer and closer to Easter, to the time that Jesus is going to be crucified. And so it's a very I told you this before, we read the Bible sometimes and it seems so squeaky clean. But I got to tell you what was going on. What was going on there at the time is, you know, this whole thing, don't let your hearts be troubled. Well, guess what? Their hearts were troubled. You know, I said, when you go through trouble sometimes, it's like somebody punched you. Ever had that feeling where like somebody's just punched you in the gut? And you have a feeling of dread and all that. This is what these guys are with Jesus, but this is what they are troubled. This is what they're feeling. So many times we go through these situations in life. And Jesus, we talked about the discipleship helper last week, the things that he does. But we're going to get into a little bit more deeper of some things in these next chapters, 14, finish 15 and 16. Oh, my lands. I mean, I got to quit. Sorry. I have no definition for that oh, my lands thing except for that's what somebody asked me last week. Where'd you get up with that? I'm like, that's what the Lord replaced when I stopped cussing. You know, I say things like, that ain't worth a plug nickel, or, you know, that eliminated the, I had to have something replace the cuss word. So we're getting to this discipleship helper number two, the rest of John chapter 14. And what John is talking about, what he's going to do is he's going to show us love. Now remember, a helper is someone who's going to, is another person, someone who helps another person with a job or a task. And so that we learned that last week, that that Jesus was the discipleship helper. And then he's going to talk about another helper. So John, this is when John gets in John chapter 14 here, he repeatedly in the book of John and then in all the epistles that John wrote, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, in those books, John repeatedly links love with something. You know what that is? Obedience, that's right. So if you got your Bibles open, John chapter 14, let's look at John chapter 15. Now, what's interesting, if you look at these verses, so it starts out in John 14, 15, and verse 21, verse 23. Now, I only added, just for room purposes, I only added the beginning parts. John chapter 24. Now, there's other verses in his other books, but it says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them is he who loves me. Jesus answered him, and if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And whoever does not love me does not keep my words. Now, so when you see something, when you're studying the Bible, in your reading and you see stuff repeated, you need to say, hello, that is important. Why is Jesus continually talking to me and asking me if talking about love and loving him? And so that's huge in your understanding. So you got to search that out. That's a big, important thing. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Now, does Jesus really give us commands or does he give us suggestions? Yeah, thank you. Just want to be clear on that. And let's be clear on something else. Love is not what you say, it's what? Yeah, okay, we're clear on that. So Jesus gives us commands. He's telling us that love is more about doing than what you say because, you know, even in Matthew, 15:8, Jesus said, you know, some people, they honor me with their lips. Yes, that's right. Their hearts are far from me. And so when you think about the love, now you got to ask yourself, what kind of love are we talking about, Jesus? I don't know if you do this, but what kind of love are you talking about? Because this love that Christ is trying to explain to us, we don't see Jesus forcing it on people like a dictator. You know, you see those pictures of those dictators in the Middle East or, you know, South America, and they got all these great big rallies and they got all these great big pictures of the guy who they love so much, you know. Guess what? Those are forced by the majority of people. I'm sure there's some people that are over the top with that guy. But the majority of those people, they show up because they are forced. And Jesus, the love that Christ wants us to have for him is not forced. It can't be forced like a dictator. Jesus doesn't force us to love him or else. No. And then I don't think it's a love where it talks about we're supposed to love Jesus with this ulterior motive, right? You know what I'm saying? You know, I remember when you have an ulterior motive in love, that means you're always loving something because you're going to get something in return. See, that's not real love. Now, my wife, she's not here today because we got the grandkids and a couple of them are sick. So, but here, you know what my wife's love language is? My wife's love language is acts of service. So if my wife says, honey, would you mind cleaning the house for me? Now, men, is that a command or a suggestion? How long you been? It depends on how long you've been married, huh? Or do you want to stay married? Yeah, there you go. Now, I try to do some of that stuff without being asked. But when my wife says, honey, would you mind, you know, doing some stuff around the house for me? It's gonna be a busy week. You know what I tell her? I'll do anything, but I will not, do not ask me to dust. I will vacuum, I will mop the floors, I will clean the toilets. Don't ask me to pick up all those knickknacks and those pictures off the wall. Because I can't do this detailed stuff. That's not in me. And you know why I say that? Because, you know, I love my wife. Some of you love Jesus, right? And some of those commands, when you love Jesus, are what? They're real easy. For me, cleaning the house or doing all these things, they're real easy until you get to that hard stuff. And so loving Jesus is real easy and when you're following the commands that are real easy. You know what I'm saying? You're all here today. It must not have been a hard thing to call. I mean, it's cold, man. I drove out of my driveway today. And inside that car, you know, it's got that Tammy. I'm driving Tammy's car today because she wasn't coming. And so the temperature gauge inside that thing, I started out, was like 18. And as I drove here, it just kept dropping. And it was cold out, but y'all made it here. That's not too hard, is it? Y'all, most of you sang when we worshiped today. Was that really hard? No, that you found that pretty easy to do, right? I mean, we come here, and I'm going to tell you something. It's most of y'all, you know, if it wasn't for the movie starting, we'd still be here at 12 o'clock, 12:30, 1 o'clock. Some of you guys have to go fellowshipping with each other. Not that hard, is it? I mean, those are all commands. If I show you the scriptures about worshiping the Lord, about not forsaking the assembly together, that you know, all these things, that the fellowshipping, those are all easy for a lot of people. But there's hard commands of the Bible. That's what we were talking about in John. We said this. Jesus says, forget living the self-centered lifestyle. Live the Jesus-centered, other-centered lifestyle instead. You know, that's the acronym JOY is, right? Anybody know what that is? That's right. Jesus, others, and you. But we want to live us, others, and Jesus so many times. And so we learned that we're to serve others regardless of who they are. Instead of us coming in and being consumers, that we're supposed to be servants. And then the last one, here's one. love the people that are hard to love. You know, and you've heard this before, I'm sure you have. If you don't know any of those people that are hard to love, then maybe it's you. I know I'm hard to love. I am. I know that. Hey, we could have a confession time. I can tell you that right now. On that one. Here's a big one. Here's one. Forgive the people that have really hurt you. I tell you. I know. I understand the hurt that some, and not as good as Jesus does. But I know I've talked to enough people. I've had people cry in my office and tell me outside of the church and how they've been hurt by so many people. People they love. People that were close to them. Really hurt. I'm really, really hurt. And yet, Jesus says we're supposed to forgive even our enemies. And then here's one that's really hard for most people. Share your faith. That's hard for people to do. It really is hard. I mean, I get paid to talk about Jesus. And sometimes it's really hard for me. So I understand that. That's why today we are learning about the discipleship helper. Because here's the deal. This is the big point right here. Let's read this. Read this together. Because you got to say this out loud. Jesus will provide help for you to obey every difficult command. He will. He will. John 14, 16 says, and I will ask the Father, Jesus says, and I will give you another helper to be with you for what? Forever. Now, I just love it when Jesus prays for us. When Jesus asks the Father for something, how many times, what percentage of the time is he going to get what he asked for? That's right. You and I ask the Father for something? I don't know. Jesus, I know. Jesus says, I'm going to ask the Father, and he's going to send another discipleship helper. Another. So what's that mean? Another. Yeah, who's that? It's Jesus. That's right. Jesus has been with those guys for 3.5 years. He's been helping him the whole time. Matter of fact, I just want to stop and make a clarification here. Last week we talked in John chapter 14, the beginning of there, where Jesus says, now, I'm going away, and you're going to have power, and I probably should look it up and just say this, and let me clarify something here for you. John chapter 14, 12. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. And whatever you ask in my name, this will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Now, okay, I'm gonna go back on that. I've been thinking about that all week. And I told you that what are the disciples actually going to do? What are we going to do? What are the disciples going to do that are greater than what Jesus did? And the only thing that we could say, really, and when you think about it realistically, is that they're going to have a greater reach because they're going to get outside of Jerusalem and go all over the ends of the earth and make disciples. And we have that ability. And then I thought about that, and I was thinking about that all week, and I'm like, that's true. But the reason why it's going to be the way they can do greater things is because Jesus is going to the Father, and he sent us another helper. And the power will not only be with them, it's going to be in them. I'm getting a little ahead of it. I wanted to go back and change that because that's the key. The key is not so much the things that you're going to do. It's the difference in the power. You see what I'm saying? When Jesus goes back to the Father and sets on the right hand and he sends the Holy Spirit, everything changes. So Jesus is asking the Father to send another helper. He's referring to the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. I just love singing the doxology. Nice job, you guys. Just understand that we believe in the Trinity. We believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They're three distinct deities, but they're one. Don't ask me to explain it. All I know is the Bible says it, and it's one of those mysteries. It's the same way with the incarnation, how Jesus could come down, be man, be born of a virgin, be God-man. That's all I can tell you. But that word helper stands for, it's the, in the Greek word, that's paraclete. And that's what it really means. In the ESV, in my translation, it uses the word helper. In the King James, it uses the word comforter. In the NIV, the word is counselor. In the NLT, the New Living Version, it's an advocate. Now, which one's correct? Thank you. That's not even all his names, but those are the ones that the Bible translations put out for us. And remember, they've all translated the Greek. They all mean the same thing. Matter of fact, the Holy Spirit is the one who comes alongside to help strengthen us, teach us the truth. See, when you know the truth, then you know what's wrong, what's false. And he convicts us when we sin, and he convicts the world of sin, the scripture says. He defends us, that's the advocate, and he helps us obey the commands of Jesus. Now, the Holy Spirit is not a, he's not some sort of, you know, Dr. Phil, you know what I mean? Because he does all his stuff with power. You don't want to look at my muscles for power. So the key is, now I want you to be clear on this, you receive the Holy Spirit at the moment of salvation. You can't come to the Father without the Holy Spirit drawing you. You can't come to Christ without the Spirit drawing you. And so the Spirit is calling to all people, but some receive him, and he draws us, and we receive Christ. And the Bible says that as soon as we receive Christ, we become, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, we become new, his new creation, old has passed away, behold, the new has come, because we now have the Holy Spirit. Now, see, disciples, Jesus is telling all this stuff, and they're like, See, have you ever listened to Ravi Zacharias or Albert Mohler or somebody that's really smart and lay down their opinions on stuff? I've been there before, and I'm like, dude, you're making my head hurt, man. Just, I'm gonna have to get the tape and go home and go through this slowly because it's so complicated, you know. And that's what the disciples were, because part of the time, what was happening there with those guys was that Jesus was telling this stuff, but they weren't as focused on what Jesus was saying as they were focused on the trouble, weren't they? The trouble they were experiencing. And they didn't quite understand what Jesus was saying. And so all they could say is, Jesus, you're leaving? You know, Jesus is telling them all this good stuff, and all they could say, you're leaving? You're leaving? You're leaving? And so many times as a person receives Jesus Christ early in their spiritual journey, like I did, I had no clue about the Holy Spirit. I didn't have a clue. You could have told me, and I went, oh, okay. Because I didn't understand it. I was like the disciples. Sometimes we get focused on the problems and the challenges that we have, and we don't understand the host, but that's okay. That's all right. Because Jesus is telling those guys, if you know me, you will know him. And so he knew that what was going to happen. So back to the Bible, John chapter verse 17. Let's read this together. You ready? Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Now, it says there in verse 17, that even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it what? It neither sees him or knows him. Now, I'm sure you've heard that some people make stuff happen, some people watch stuff happen, and other people wonder what happened. You know what I mean? Some people just get so busy, get caught up in their own thing, they don't even take the time. But there's some people that actually realize it. There's something out there, but they refuse. It says there, they refuse know him is that because they cannot receive him, but because it neither knows him or sees him. And so The problem is that some people refuse to see Jesus. They refuse to see God. The Bible says that the heavens declare his glory. Man, anybody who's watched their child to be born and see the miracle of life, and you can stand back and say, oh, you know, it was just some, you know, blob that kind of created into life, and man, I got a baby here somehow. Man, you watch the miracle of birth. You go out and stand. I've been at the mountainside and looked down at the great creation and seen some of the great, beautiful sights in our country, and you think there's no God. This happened by accident? See, there's people out there, atheists and agnostics and people who just refuse. They just flat out refuse it to believe it. And that's what Jesus is saying here. Verse 17, that's what he says. But he says this, look at this, 17, the second part of 17. He says, but you know him, for he dwells with you. And what's the last word it says? Uh-oh. Let me tell you something. That's a pretty big statement right there by Jesus. You see, in the Old Testament, he dwelt with them. Old Testament, the Holy Spirit was limited, you know, as far as their, and not permanent, as far as them being with them. You know, we read in the Bible, if you read all the Bible stories in the Old Testament, you see the Holy Spirit come on people, they do certain things, and the Holy Spirit is gone. Matter of fact, David, when he sinned, he said, oh Lord, he pleaded with the Lord, please don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Because it wasn't permanent. In the New Testament, Jesus says he'll be with you and in you and never what? Well, that's a big thing, ladies and gentlemen. That's a big deal right there. That is what they call in the Bible one of those things that changes the relationship with God and man. And Jesus says this is going to be big. Romans 8 and 9, one of my interesting verses, one that I like, and I wanted to share with you today. The question is, though, so I know what happens. See, when I read stuff like this, I ask myself a question. But it says, you, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. In fact, the Spirit of God, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. And so what the question everybody asks, and I asked when I was young in the faith, is, do I have the Spirit? I mean, that's the common logic to think, do I really have the Spirit? Because Jesus is saying the Holy Spirit is personal and is permanent to all believers who believe. And we're going to talk more about it, but you have to ask yourself that question, do I have the Spirit? Because I asked those questions of myself as I was growing in my faith. Okay, back to the Bible, verses 18 through 20. We'll answer that. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you, and yet a little while, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me, because I live, you will also live. You know, and in that day, you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. That's just an interesting set of statements that Jesus says there. If you've been watching, if you have a Facebook account, you look, you know, one of the saddest things is that people are always posting these pictures of people who want to find their birth parents. Y'all seen those? Yeah. That's pretty sad, isn't it? That they want to meet their birth parents, and Jesus says, he says, I won't leave you as orphans, because you know what? How's an orphan feel? An orphan feels afraid. They feel abandoned. They're troubled. Jesus is not going to leave you that way. He was trying to tell those guys, you know, even back in those days, an orphan back in those days. I've talked to people. I had a cousin who grew up in an orphanage. That's really a tough thing. And Jesus was trying to tell them, and he's telling us, I'm not going to leave you orphaned. He says, listen to this. Wherever you go, the Holy Spirit is going to be with us, but I'm going to be with you and in you. That's big. That's big. The Spirit of God's, you don't have to come to this building to get in the Spirit of God. That's why we say the building doesn't make a difference. Matter of fact, we could be outside. Yeah, not today. Yeah, not today. Not today. But we'll be outside. The Spirit be with us. He'd be going, get back in the house. Get back in the house. But you see what I'm saying? That some people think that the Spirit or God's in the building. That's not what Jesus is saying. It's not only with us, but it's in us. That's why wherever two or three believers are gathered together, he's there. And then he says the world will see him no more, right? Well, what's he mean by that? Well, Jesus is trying to explain to these guys. He keeps saying, I'm going to the cross. I'm going to die. I'm going to be buried. I'm going to rise again. And then I'm headed to the right hand of the Father. And so the world, you know, he kept saying those things and nobody could understand it. They will not see him nor. But I love the part where he says, because I live, you will live. And I always go back to the old song, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. There's no more fears. All fear is gone. Because I live, I know who holds the future. One commentator wrote that Jesus' life was dependent on the Father's life. And for us as a believer, our lives is dependent on Jesus' life. Has anyone memorized Galatians 2:20? Excuse me? Galatians 2:20? I've been crucified with Christ. I'll help you out there. I've been crucified with Christ. It is I that no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave his life for me. You know, that's one of the most important scriptures of the Bible. You need to memorize that. I memorized that early. So the question is it your responsibility to try and live a good Christian life? According to that scripture. It's kind of a trick question. What? In one hand, yes, we want to do our part because we all play a part, but then the other part is that, what's that say? What's that? Yeah, it's Christ's life in us that's actually going to be doing the work. It's Christ, it's the Holy Spirit in us. So, huh? Yeah, Christ in me is my hope of glory. So in one part, yes, we want to desire it. Yes, we want to work on it. But and it's really easy to do the easy commands that Jesus gives us in the flesh. But to do the hard and the hard things, to really live the Christ life, it's Christ in us. It's Christ in you. You know, you can't be good enough. You can't live the good Christian life. You can't obey the Ten Commandments. It's Christ in us that helps me live the Christian life. I have to do my part. I want to live my life like Jesus. But remember, it's the Holy Spirit who helps us do the hard stuff, the hard commands. In verse 20, he says, let me reread that again. In that day, you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. See, Jesus told him all these things before it happened. So that in the day refers to the day that he is risen from the dead, and that's they see him. They're still confused. That day, that Holy Spirit in the book of Acts comes down and fills those guys inside them, they know. They keep saying, oh, now we remember. And everything that Jesus said came to pass. And they knew. How will you know Jesus' Spirit's in you? How do you know that? How do you know that? Yeah, I like to call that the start and stop principle. Excuse me, stop and start principle. The Holy Spirit will give you desire to stop doing the wrong things and start doing the right things. I had no clue what that meant. All I knew was that when I, and many of you, I'm sure you've been like this, is that when I prayed and asked Christ to forgive me and to come into my life, I didn't know zip. I knew the children's stories. That's all I knew. And all of a sudden, I'm like, okay, hey, Tammy, let's find a church. She's like, what? All of a sudden, I had the desire to go to church. Then as I started to go to church and hear God's word preached just like this here today, I decided, oh, man, I'm going to read the Bible. And as I started to read the Bible for myself, then God started to work on me and said, you know, Scott, let's clean up your vocabulary. And, you know, so all these things kept, and so it was stop doing a lot of things at first. You know, it was stop doing a lot of things at first. It was, you know, I told you, I just stopped the cussing. I decided I needed to change that. I started feeling guilty after I was. I mean, I've told you guys before, I used to smoke marijuana. I always say bad about, think about this. And somebody posted I was making a funny on Josh's Crooks Facebook the other day. Some dude posted that they've been hiding from us marijuana kills cancer cells. And I wrote on there, yeah, it kills brain cells too. I know. It will kill brain cells. It might kill cancer cells. I know it kills brain cells. All that stopped. All that, the desire to stop doing these things. And then God replaced them. And then it realized as I was stopping things, I started to start things. Like going to church, read God's word, praying with my wife, hanging around people like you, you know, interesting people like you guys. Because when I first came to church, I'm like, I'm sitting in the back. These people are weird. I ain't talking to none of them. I know how two back people thinking are back there in the back rows. I used to be one. Yeah. People a little weird. I ain't hanging out with them. Now I is one. So it's the start, stop. You all, what did you start? What did you stop? Don't leave me up here. Come on. What was it? Drinking. That was one for you. Huh? Smoking. Anybody else? What'd you start doing? Somebody else got another example that you started doing? Praying. Serving. There we go. Sharing your faith. Less selfish. Yeah, you know, it does. It comes on you and the Spirit comes on you. You're like, you know, why do I want to give somebody some money? Why do I want to go help that person? Because, see, I was walking around my life. I mean, I wasn't a bad person. I mean, I'd help you once in a while. If it was convenient for me. Yeah, there's money involved, yeah. So, this is important because when you look at verse 21, think about this. Look at this. Here it goes. And whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And who loves me will be loved by my Father. And listen to this. I will love him. And what's the next word? Uh-oh. Now, you see, that is a pretty challenging word right there. Whoever has my commandments and keeps it is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Now so we talked about love is action, it's obedience, but what's interesting there is Jesus tells us that he will manifest himself to us. Now the word manifest means reveal himself to you. That's what it really means, and so I just, here it is, this simple. As you grow in your spiritual journey and become better at obedience, you will grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. And what I mean by that is as I started to understand what to stop to do, what the Spirit was, before I even understood everything about the Spirit, as I started to stop doing things and start doing things, it was the Spirit of God working me to do those things. I didn't understand it all, but as I started to do that and found the obedience, and then the Spirit of God started revealing himself more to me. That's what happened. And the more I started to follow him, the more he started to reveal himself to me, I started to learn things about the Holy Spirit and things about sharing my faith and some of the really challenging things. And that's how you grow spiritually. It's by knowing Jesus more. And when you love God more and you know him more, he's revealed to you more, you'll start seeing things so much differently in your life. You're willing to sacrifice your time and your pleasure and your money to go help people, the ones that he loves, to help the church, to whatever it is. It's amazing what he calls you to do. I don't know what he does call you to do. I used to tell people, I would have never guessed I would have been standing in front of a group of people like this. preaching God's word. That was the farthest thing from my mind. As far as I just wanted to go out and serve. And as God began to grow, and I got to tell you, I had a Christian come up to me one time years ago, and I told you the story. I didn't understand it. Maybe you weren't here before when I said this, but the guy says, "Scott, you have just passed me by. What the heck have you been doing?" And I said, At that time, I didn't really understand what he was saying. But as I thought about that, the only thing I could tell you is that I was in that start-stop thing. I was confessing, and I was asking him to change, and I was helping other people know Jesus and serving. And then more and more did he reveal himself to me. And that's where the spiritual growth is. Spiritual growth is really knowing Christ more. And as you know him more, he will change your life. That's what Peter said, "But grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ and Savior. To him be the glory both now and forever." And Peter's saying that it's not about book smart. It's not about understanding everything in the Bible or memorizing all this stuff. That's all important. But at the end of the day, it comes down to this following, obeying. That's what Jesus said. Jesus said, I didn't say it. Jesus said it's obedience before manifestation. That's what he says. That's what Jesus says in verse 20. "Whoever has my commands keeps them is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." Do you see the order? So the question is, because I have this happen to me all the time, and maybe you feel that way, and I know I've felt this way before. Why do people feel sometimes they say they believe, but they feel so far from God? Why is that? What's that? I think that's could be. I think that the majority of time we're not obedient. There's times when you go through the valley and God allows you to go through that valley in order to grow you. But I'm thinking a lot of times people aren't close to God is because they're not obedient to God. I think that's what it, I just think that's. You know, why is it that so-and-so, you know, like that, why is it some people, it's like, man, they're just on fire and got a direct line to Jesus and things are just working out and, you know, they're just growing like leaps and bounds. Maybe because they're, you know, stopping and starting and obeying more. Maybe they're obeying they're really trusting the Lord for the difficult things that God has asked them to be obedient to. Because that's it. That's probably the problem. You know, that's part of the problem. I said there's two things right here. Why do people feel distance? Well, one is that you've never asked Christ to forgive your sins and really accepted him by faith as the leader of your life. You're still in control. You're still the CEO. You've never put Jesus in charge. And then the second thing I said, that you're not obeying his commands. That's the two biggest things that I think that are there. It's easy. The simple commands are easy, right? But as long as we're going down the easy road and Jesus doesn't ask us to do too much, when he asks us to do that hard thing, you're like, uh-oh. backing out, Jesus, backing out, you know. Sorry, I don't dance much. That probably wasn't pretty. That's the hard, when it comes to the hard problems like forgiving and loving and serving and giving and sacrificing and all those things we just talked about, we're like, you know what, I'm out of here. Because listen, the longer that you follow Jesus on your spiritual journey, he's going to challenge you to obey him on the harder things. And it could be in your marriage. It could be in your personal life or your work life or wherever it is. I mean, boy, I tell you what, when, you know, all I can tell you is that I can't talk for you, but I can talk for me. When I made those first steps, Jesus hit me with some really hard things that need to be cleaned up in my life. And I had to sit down and talk to my wife. And I didn't know if we were going to, when we first came to Christ and God was working in my life, was I was going to stay married or not because of the things I had to tell my wife. And it was amazing movement of the Holy Spirit when I shared some of these things and I confessed some things and God worked in my life that my marriage has never been the same since. Let me tell you something, it was hard. And the only thing I could do was be obedient. And it worked out. And his presence, the Holy Spirit, helped me. And it was scary and I felt trouble. But listen, Jesus says, here's the difference. Verse 22 and 23, here we go. He says, Judas says, what? Judas, not the one that betrayed Jesus. So there was a couple of them that had that Judas name. Evidently, that was kind of a popular name. Not such popular name back then. It's not so popular nowadays, right? No. So Jesus said to him, Lord, how is it? Judas said to him, how will you manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and I will come to him and make our home with him. That's pretty sweet, isn't it? God's going to make you. God's home is in you. See, that's the difference between a follower of Jesus Christ and the world, a person who doesn't believe. They don't understand the things of God. God's home's not in them. The Spirit's not in them. He says, how are we going to do this, Jesus? And what's the difference? That's the difference between a follower of Jesus, a disciple of Jesus, someone who's put their faith in Jesus, than anybody else who is not. God's home is in them. Verse 25 and 26. These things I have spoken to you while I'm still here with you. But the Helper, again, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you of all things and bring to remembrance in all that you have said. Now, I mean, that's pretty important right there. He's the teacher and the reminderer. So what I tell you is I would ask you, you need to ask the Holy Spirit to teach you and to give you understanding for the hard things that he wants you to do and for the good things that he wants you to do. And then trust him that no matter what, when you go out to do these things, that he will be there, he's in you, that he will bring all this to your mind. I can't tell you how many times I've walked out in faith and said, okay, I don't know what to say, I don't know what to do, but I'm going to trust you. And he has given me the words to do, but I've done the work beforehand. I've read the Bible. I've asked him to teach me. And he does it. He's the Helper. And he'll bring in the power in times and the remembrance when you need it. Back to the scriptures again, verse 27, 29. He says there, peace I live with you. Again, it goes, here he is talking about peace again. Peace I live with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say I'm going away and I will come to you. If you love me, you would have rejoiced because I am going to the Father. For the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. He's just reminding those guys over and over again, this is what's going to happen. See, these guys, they still weren't having peace. They didn't have peace, and their world didn't have peace. Hello? Are we dealing with? Nobody knows what's going to happen Monday when the stock market opens back up. I don't know if you've been watching this. I mean, we got trouble in Iran. We got them all people over there thinking peace, 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 but there's no peace in the Middle East. We got problems all around the world. We got the stock market that could crash on Monday. Does our world have peace? So he's speaking to them and talking to us. How's your life? You got peace now? A lot of people struggling with problems. I like this. I always tell you again, here it is. I love this picture. Jesus' peace is not the absence of trouble, but it's what? In the storm. That's right. That's right. So let's review this real quick. Jesus will provide help for you to obey every difficult command. The Holy Spirit is personal and permanent to all who believe in Jesus. As you grow in your spiritual journey, you'll become better at obedience and you will grow in grace and in knowledge of Jesus. He will reveal himself to you. So my question is, do you have the Spirit of Jesus in you? Do you feel far from God? I hope you can answer those questions. And if you're struggling, then you need to seek Jesus Christ out. Maybe you've never made Christ. Maybe you say you believe with your lips, but your heart's far from him. Maybe you've never made him the leader of your life and said, okay, from today on, I am going to start new, God. I'm going to start new, and I'm going to start following you. Forgive me of my sins. Help me to guide me. And you know what happens on Monday? You mess up. And you know what you say? Forgive me, Lord. Help me to. He's like, get back up, boy. Get up, son. Come on. I love you. And you get back up and do it again. And as you go through life, you grow, you grow, grow. If you don't, if you feel far from God, then maybe you got to ask, Lord, is there anything that I, because see, I do this on a regular basis. If anybody comes up here and wants to be anointed and prayed for, I ask him, is there something you need to confess? Maybe you're not being obedient. Maybe you need to stop something and or start something. See, one of the things is that a lot of people need to start something. They're not being obedient, not to the negative things, but to the positive things. You got to start loving. You got to start giving. You got to start serving. You know, you got to start reading the word. There's so many good things that you're not doing that he wants. See, there's sin that you do, and there's sin that you sin when you don't do, because we've given these, Jesus has given these commands. Though, matter of fact, this whole Bible is full of commands, and if Jesus is God, all of these represent that. And you know, really, the good news is Jesus has actually boiled it down to two, right? Love God and love me. Love others, excuse me. Love God and love others. And so, yeah, not me. And so if we really focus on those two, a lot of those others will come right along. So here we go, verse 30 and 31. We're coming to the close. He says, I no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no claim on me. I love that. He has no claim on me. But I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let's go from here. You know, that's kind of cool. Jesus is hours away from the cross. He wanted them guys to know. They didn't figure it out now, but he wanted us to know. The enemy had no power over Jesus. He laid down his own life because God the Father asked him to. You think something's hard? You got something hard? Go die on the cross for the sins of the world. Be separated from the Father that he has never been separated from eternity. And then take onto yourself the world's sin, past, present, and future, all of it. I mean, wow. That's pretty hard. But yet Jesus was obedient to the Father, and he obeyed the Father to the end, and he won the victory. And he told them all beforehand that he was going to do this so that they would know and we would know the truth. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for these folks today. I thank you for them braving the cold weather and coming here today. And Lord, I thank you for the power of your word. Jesus, you are the only thing that we get. You're the only person or only thing that could ever give use the word awesome for. And we just say that today. We thank you for your obedience to the Father. Lord, I pray for those, some here that don't know you, that they would cry out to you, God, in your own words. Just have said it many times, that in their own words, cry out to you, and Lord, you will answer them, and they will receive you, Jesus, and at the same time receive your Spirit. I pray they would take that step to do that. And for many here today, those who believe and that you've been knocking on their hearts today about obeying, that they would take the next step and ask you to fill them with the Holy Spirit, and that they, Lord, would start seeing what you want them to start and stop doing. And I know, God, you'll answer their prayers. I know, Lord, I'm telling you, told us these things, Lord, before we do them, because you want to know when it we want us to know when it happens that you say what you do. If anybody makes these, if anybody does these things and sees the result, they will know that you speak the truth. We pray all this in your powerful name, Jesus. Amen. Hey, worship team.